Satisfaction.com.
Finally, the time has come. It's been planned for the last couple of weeks. She is in studio finally right now. Former WWE diva Trish Stratus has dropped by. Trish, I guess, first of all, what brings you to Edmonton?
You.
Okay.
Well, I say that to everybody.
Which is sad to hear.
Well, I'm actually at the River Creek Resort and Casino. And a couple things going down, okay? There's a big competition, and I know you're going to think of the fight, but there's something that's a little more important, okay? And it's the ring card girls.
Okay? I agree.
Now, there's a competition going on, and I am going to be judging it.
What do you look for in a ring card girl?
A lot of things, a lot of qualities. How they're holding the card, you know? And if it's not the right angle,
Are people looking at the card, though? Really, let's be honest.
Oh, well, see, that's the thing. I have to make sure. That's where I have to see it. That's my perspective, you know what I'm saying? You may be looking at the butt. I'm looking at the card because it's my job to ensure that people know what round we're in.
So are they responsible for going over and picking up the card, or does someone hand them the card to make sure they have the right card? Because that's a lot of pressure.
It is
holding
pressure.
It right and getting the right round.
You know, because, right, heaven forbid, you have a number upside down.
Or have it saying round three when it's only round two.
Right. You know what? We have people. It actually changes. It varies to each federation. You know, it's sort of a unique thing per federation. Mm-hmm. But there's no sanctioned guidelines. But I think they're working on that right now.
So you've been to Edmonton many times, of course, before.
Many times.
With WWF and WWE. I just want to go back and talk to you a little bit about your wrestling career before we talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing with Maximum Fighting Championship. Back in the day, how did you go from fitness model to wrestler?
Well, let's see. Okay, I try to make this a short story, but it's a little bit of a long one.
Okay.
So I go on.
You can go.
Well, I was doing fitness modeling, and actually I was on a show called, Off the Record. You may know it. It's Michael Landsberg's Off the Record. And I was kind of like the go-to guest because it was kind of neat. I thought, oh, a girl who knows sports? Cool. So I was on that show, you know, quite a few times. And then the one special show I got asked to be on was when Raw was going to be live. It was going to be primetime, finally, in Canada, because it used to be, you know, watch it at like 2 in the morning. So there was a big press conference, and it was live, and it was in front of the Sky Dome, and there was a show that evening. And it was a show in front of the fans. And so from that show, I was on that panel, and all the fans were kind of like coming up to me afterwards and saying, oh, when are you starting, and what's going on? I was like, starting what? They're like, when are you debuting? I'm like, what? And then I went to the show that night, and people were like, oh, I heard you're starting soon. I'm like, I have no idea what these people are talking about. It's cool, though. I like the attention, though. And my husband and I, we've been fan of wrestling like our whole life. I used to go to Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto, and we used to go all the time when we were dating and stuff. So, like, that's date, right? And then so we went online, and sure enough, they were talking about me, and they were just saying that Trish Stratus was spotted on this Off the Record show, and she was asked to be on the panel. They want to check her out, and she's going to be debuting soon, and it was totally false. But that turned into enough of a rumor online that the headquarters was like, who's this Chiquita we keep hearing about? And so I sent my press kit to them. This was early 90, or end of 98, and then they didn't call me right away, and I was a little bit sad, but I decided, well, I'm going to work off my sadness in a wrestling gym. I went and found out where Edge trained in Toronto, and I went in there and started training for about 3-4 months, did some solid training, and it was all guys, and he was like, he basically told me my trainer was Ron Hutchison. He basically said, you know, I saw this girl going, yeah, she wants to be in the wrestling world, okay, we'll see, and threw me in with a bunch of guys, and just like no holds barred, and it was great, because I'm kind of a tomboy, and that was like how I played sports and everything. And of course, it's kind of like one of those things, if you're a wrestling fan, you know how to do a suplex before you actually do
sure.
one, right? And that was it. So when I actually got called up, they called me in November of 99, called me up. I had a meeting at the headquarters in Connecticut with Jim Ross, and I told them I'd been training for a little bit, and I think that was like a little plus mark on my on my interview, and I went home with a contract offer, and I started March 2000.
Former WWE diva Trish Stratus in studio with us tonight. You didn't start right away as a wrestler, though. It took a little while. You were accompanying people to the ring. I remember the Val Venus angle and all that kind of stuff. What was your first match like? How did that all come about?
My first match, well, it was a six-person match, and they sort of eased me in there. And, of course, it's one thing to actually go, yeah, I've trained. I've did some stuff with some other people in a gym, in a ring. But to do it in front of 20,000 people, and it was very, very nerve-wracking. To say the least. I guess my first official match was, it was probably the scariest moment of my life. But I got over it, and I watch it back, and it's horrible to watch. But then I learned from that, and I got out. But it's so crazy. You're so nervous, especially being a fan, because you're kind of, it's like all surreal, you know?
Yeah.
But I just got really lucky that they decided to, you know, include the women more and decided to have an active roster of women wrestlers, right?
I remember one particular show. I think Bubba Ray Dudley put you through a table.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you look at it on TV and it looks like it hurts like hell.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's that school of thought out there that wrestling is fake and it's all that kind of stuff. When you're getting put through a table by a 300-pound guy, is there a way to do that to make it not hurt?
It hurts like hell and you get splinters in your back. And it's a real table. So everyone goes, oh, it's a face split already. No, it's a real table. It's a real table and you really go through it. And I found it quite exhilarating, actually. I was kind of like, oh, it was cool. But that's because the wrestling fan in me thought it was cool, right? And that was the first major thing I did, I think, that, like, physical thing that kind of people are like, oh, okay, she's willing to sort of put her body on the line. And it was, the boys kind of gave me the nod of approval.
A lot of the school of thought out there, people that are anti-wrestling or just don't get it, they say, you know, it's fake. Why would I want to watch that? And I think probably a more accurate way to describe it would be to say it's scripted, because it is scripted.
Yeah.
But you got to be a tremendous athlete to do some of that sort of stuff. These aren't just guys that go out there and, you know, some fake match or some, it's not like it doesn't take any physical ability.
Right. Well, that's the thing I say. It's kind of like a dance, you know. It's like we're doing a dance, and it's, we're doing certain things that we might have planned out already, have maybe planned this step over here, but we're actually doing the step, and it's a lot of work, you know. And of course, you know, you got to think about the schedule that we keep, and we keep up that schedule, and it's all year round. And, I know a few of the Leaf players, and we always, like, talk about the schedule, and we talk about, oh, I know this got these aches, and I got these pains, and which I must say are gone now, being out of wrestling for are gone now. I thought those just stayed for a while. I used to say to them, yeah, okay, you guys are, you know, complaining as well, but you guys have an off season. Like, no, and they were shocked. Like, it's pretty crazy when you really think about us going all year round.
How many days a year are on the road? What kind of time off do you get?
Oh, well, a typical schedule, you would leave on a Friday. You would do your first show on a Friday night. You would go to another town Saturday, do another show. Mm-hmm. Another town on Sunday, do another show. And then on Monday is Monday Night Raw, and you would, you know, you have to load in at noon. So you're at the arena very early, and your whole day is there till, you know, the show goes live at 9, so you're done by 11. And then possibly drive to another town, drive your hotel, and then, you know, fly home on a Tuesday. And you have Wednesday and Thursday, turn it back around and get out there. And in between, you got stuff like this. I'd come and see you. We'd do an interview, you know, so do photo shoots, try and look pretty when you got bags down to your knees.
Yeah.
But, it's all good. It was all good. It was amazing.
And with the National Hockey League players, they travel by charter, and it's, you know, pretty luxurious travel. For you guys, is it, you know, the same type of thing, or is it commercial and rental cars? And
exactly like that, yes. Yeah, and people think that. They think we're arriving in limos. Oh, tough life. No, I mean, you're driving. We did 300 miles, like, sometimes 3 days of the tour, you know. It was pretty tough.
Why'd you get out?
It was just time. I just felt like it was time. I'd been doing it. It was, like, almost 7 years when I left, and I felt like I had really, and you never want to say I've done everything I wanted to do, but I felt like I accomplished all the goals that I had set out to do. Like, I wanted to work with certain people. I felt like my character had a lot of diversity. I got to do the bad girl thing, the good girl thing, and work with certain people, like, you know, do a whole, like, the love triangle angle, which was kind of neat. And it just felt like I was good. Like, it just felt right. And the thing, it came up, it was time for me to do a new contract offer, and they offered me another 5 years, and I went, 5 years, wow. Sure. When you do that, you're going to have the pregnancy angle for the first time. Second time, sorry. It just felt right. I just felt like it was time, and I just knew it was like I can close this chapter of my life, and it felt right. And then when I look back at the ending, it was pretty perfect.
When you look back on it, lots of controversial angles, lots of very sexualized angles. Did you do anything that you look back on now and go, ooh, I wish I wouldn't have done that?
Nope. Every single thing. I mean, and there was not one moment that I was unhappy with or not comfortable with. And Vince was really great about, you know, I mean, we had a great relationship, and I don't know if it's any different with anyone else, but, I mean, I would tell him, like, oh, I don't, like, either, not even from a sexuality standpoint, it was like, I'm not feeling that, and he'd like, well, let me hear why, and he'd be like, you know, if he had a great point, he'd be like, yeah, and many times he would say something, he's like, well, think of it like this, and I'm like, oh, yeah, like, he would show you the bigger picture, you look at what's right in front of you, but he's looking already at, like, you know, next week, and the week after, and the week after, so he sees the bigger picture. That's why he's, you know, so great at what he does. But, no, I was, you know, everything I did meant something, and there was a purpose for everything I did, yeah.
Former WWE diva Trish Stratus is in town and in the studio. MFC goes tomorrow, or is it tomorrow? It's February 22nd, right? Is Rags to Riches, and the Ring Card Girls show goes tomorrow down at River Cree Resort and Casino. If people want to come out and see that, can they still grab tickets to come on down?
Yeah, they can still grab tickets, and then they can join me at the Touch Ultra Lounge afterwards. I'll be emceeing the party there, and it should be a great night. I'm excited, so I need some Edmonton people to come show me some good times.
Continuing to talk about the wrestling a little bit, got to ask you about steroids. There's been a lot of talk in the press. WWE's gotten a lot of negative press about the steroids, and I know that you were reasonably close anyway with Chris Benoit, and we can maybe touch on that in a second. But when you were with the company, steroids something that you saw as a legitimate issue when you were there?
I didn't really see it. I mean, I guess maybe from the girls to the boys it's different, because, you know, obviously the girls, we don't do it, and I don't know if the boys did it. I don't really know, but it kind of just, it was what it was. You jump, I mean, I came from the bodybuilding world, so I was around big guys, and I was just, it was what it was, and I never, it didn't affect me personally, so I didn't really even look at it. It's like, and everyone's an individual. You do what you gotta do, fine. I gotta, you know, I'm gonna run, you know, 5 miles a day to keep my physique. You do what you gotta do, and it's really none of my business. I don't, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, even comment on why that person or this person, right? So, I mean, I think it just, and that's what it comes down to, is individuality. I think it's their own choice. They decide to do it for whatever reason, and, you know, or they didn't decide to do it, you know, and so I don't know.
Seems to be a lot of tragedy in the business when you go back over the number of years. Is there, I mean, does it just come down to the grueling schedule and the injuries and the painkillers and the,
I mean, I would say like the schedule is certainly something that could be adjusted, and maybe that could make a difference. I believe, from my injuries, I mean, I was there 7 years, and the major injuries I had, conveniently, you know, happened to happen in the summertime. But, I mean, yeah, I was kind of lucky like that. But I had a back injury, which had me out for 4 months. And I had my first injury was ankle injury, 4 months. Back injury, for about 4 months. And then maybe it was 3 months. And then my dislocated shoulder near the end, I kind of just worked through that, which was really hard. And it just definitely affected my performance. But if I didn't retire when I did and I had to keep going, I would have probably, well, what can I do to keep going here? I mean, I can see how that happens. And I can say that those breaks I had completely revived me. I mean, my matches were always dead on. Like, I can't remember ever, you know, it makes a difference in your performance and your attitude towards what you're doing, and because you're refreshed and you're, you know, it's like if we had that break in the middle for like a few months, it would make a huge difference in their performance, in people's, you know, there's no time to like even heal injuries. So like, how do you even continue, right? So that's when those options start being explored. So I think if those options weren't available, or they didn't have to even explore them, then maybe that would help.
With both of you being obviously sharing the Canadian heritage, what kind of a relationship did you have with Chris Benoit?
Well, yeah, you know, we have the Canadian connection, you know, all the Canadians kind of bonded. He was just, you know, great guy to me. I always thought he was, you know, sort of, you know, obviously really respected. I respected him and what he'd done for the business. And I would ask him, you know, certain things about matches. And if he would come to me and say, oh, I saw your match, it was great, that would mean, you know, a tremendous amount to me. And just like everyone else, just completely shocked, just completely like, what? Like completely floored by it all and didn't understand it. No one is going to ever understand it, basically is the bottom line. But overall, I still think he was a fantastic athlete and an amazing contributor to the industry. And it's just a shame.
Do you think the business is seeing a little bit too much heat over this issue?
I think, you know, it needs to be addressed. I don't know if it's that particular, you know, issue that happened, and that's what, I mean, I think it's, you know, something needs to be resolved for people. Why are people, you know, ending up like this, and why, you know, and it's little things that have to be explored, like, is it the schedule? Is it things like that? I mean, we're doing 4 live shows every single week for the whole, like, all year round. That's pretty intense, right?
Trish Stratus in studio with us. Canadian girl, are you a hockey fan?
I am indeed, but yeah. No more.
No?
My Leafs are done.
Wow.
I'm done.
It's tough being
now
a Leafs fan.
Now I'm just going to be an MSC fan, and that's it.
It's funny, you know, I saw a YouTube video that somebody had posted the day before Valentine's Day, I think, and it was he was breaking up with the Toronto Maple Leafs right before Valentine's Day, saying, look, you've, you know, jerked me around my whole life, and now so is it time for you to break up with the Toronto Maple Leafs? Because, you know, the Oilers are very good to their fans if you want to jump aboard. Absolutely, they
are. Is there room on board? Or about you?
You know, 5 Stanley Cups in the last 25 years.
Lots of
good young talent.
Do you think any Leafs are listening? Is this airing in
Probably not. Well, it's just Edmonton, yeah.
So I'm going to say I'm on board.
Absolutely.
Sign me up.
Sounds good.
Stratified fan right here of the Oilers.
What's the coolest thing you've ever done in your career? Out of all the things, TV shows and modeling and wrestling and...
Huh. There's a lot of them. I got to pick just one?
Yeah, just one. No fence sitting.
Okay, probably appearing on Mad TV.
Yeah?
It was just, I'm a fan of comedy, love comedy, and the one thing I said, I don't, like, you go out and get some people work and do things, the one thing I would love to do is Mad TV. And they actually got it for me. It was kind of cool. They got me the gig, and, you know, they threw my name out there. They said, yeah, bring her on. So it was kind of neat to do that. I love that. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, on the flip side, what haven't you done that
exactly.
you still want to do?
What haven't I done?
Well, what haven't you done that you still want to do? There's got to be something.
I guess I should host Saturday Night Live would be the next step, you know?
That would be a big one.
Yeah, so I'll let you know. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we can help you out with that.
No,
definitely...
okay. No, I was going to let you know when to watch it.
Oh, well, that would be great. That'd be great. We'll have to have you back on if you host Saturday
sure.
Night Live. Is it true, just as we wrap up here, and doing the research for the interview, I went to Wikipedia. That's where everybody goes. Mm-hmm. You type in somebody's name, you get all these facts about them. Did you film a CBS reality show instead of going on your honeymoon? Is that true?
It just postponed it.
Oh, so you pushed back your honeymoon.
Yeah. But see, me and my husband, we've been together for 15 years. And even the wedding was like everyone's like, oh, my God, doesn't it feel great? And like, it feels the same. We just had a big expensive party. You know what I mean? And I was able to have it because I wasn't on the road. I mean, the only reason we didn't get married is because I can't take off a weekend to, you know, have the party. So the honeymoon, yes, I got called right away to do this this CBS show. And it was just a great, cool opportunity. And we're like, that's the first thing I look at. Is it going to be neat? Is it cool? And we can do a trip. We have our whole lives to do trips. And we were actually building a house. My husband's a home builder. So we were actually building the house. So it kind of made sense. It was actually quite hectic. We were rushing to like build the house and think about we were like, you know what, we got to do this honeymoon thing soon. And then it popped. I was like, oh, good. We can put it on the back burner then and not feel guilty because I'll be getting paid to do some TV show, you know?
Trish Stratus in town for Maximum Fighting Championship for the Ring Card Girl Contest tomorrow, River Cree Resort and Casino. It's online at MaximumFighting.com. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. You going to come to the Touch Lounge?
You know what? I'll be there.
All right, good. Yeah. I'll touch you later. I mean, I'll see you later. I'm sorry. What?
Sounds good to me, though. Once again, former WWE diva Trish Stratus in studio with us tonight. Again, the ring card search goes tomorrow at River Cree Resort and Casino. Again, the website, MaximumFighting.com.